Good day, boys and girls. It's time to begin. Hi. 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 Good day. Good day. Everybody say good day. That was pitiful. Good day. One more time. One more time again. There we go. I'm so glad you could join us for our VBS. We're going to have a romping good time. Tonight, we're going to learn about someone who knew Jesus. He walked on the water with him. Who might we be talking about? Peter, very good. Well, before we get started and go to our classes, we're going to sing some songs, but I have to sing with my American accent. You ready? Get ready, stand up. Why'd it turn white? If you're happy, and you know, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
Okay, sit back. Oh, you turned off. You heard the mic testing. All right. Okay, next song. Next song. All right, you see the Apostle song? Jesus called them one by one. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Next came Philip, Thomas, too. Matthew and Bartholomew, James the one they call the less, Simon also Thaddeus, what the apostle Judas made, Jesus was by him betrayed. Yes, Jesus called them, yes, Jesus called them, yes, Jesus called them, and they all followed him. Matthias then to Judas' place to teach to men of every race. All in preaching trips did make and went to Rome for Jesus' sake. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. And they all followed him. Very good. Good job. Okay, get your builders out. You ready to build? Let's hear builders. Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Oh, brother, won't you help us? Sister, won't you help us? Building up the temple of the Lord. It's so high, you can't get over it so low. You can't get under it so wide. Can't get around it, you must go in the core. Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Oh, brother, won't you help us? Sister, won't you help us? Building up the temple of the Lord. It's so hard. You can't get over it so low. You can't get under it so high. You must go in the core. No! That was the practice time. Now, I'm going to say, I just did mess this up again. I agree. Okay, well, don't try and mess this one up here. It's fine. Deep and wide is a extent, flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And wide, and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. All right, very good, very good. They don't sing that song, that's a good job. Okay, bring out your frog. Bring your frog, bring out the frog.
I'm a little bitty frog and God loves me. I'm a little bitty frog and God loves me. I'm a little bitty frog and God loves me. I'm a medium-sized frog and God loves me. I'm a medium-sized frog and God loves me. I'm a medium-sized frog and God loves me. Grow, grow, grow.
I'm a little frog and God loves me. I'm a little frog and God loves me. I'm a little frog and God loves me. Grow, grow, grow.
Most of us are here. I'm glad you're all here. I can't continue doing the Australian accent the whole time. It will. I have to break character for singing. I can't do it. I really want to, but I can't. But I'm going to go ahead and we're going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to dismiss you to class. If you got a hat on, guys, let's go ahead and take our hats off for this. I'll try to take my hat off too. And let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. We thank you for these young people and their young hearts and their eagerness to learn more about your word and your will and your will for them throughout their lives, Lord. We pray that the things they learn tonight might benefit them in their Christian walk and will benefit them throughout their lives, because we know that you, Lord, have the words of life. We pray you would be with them and watch over us during this time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to dismiss slowly to get people, so we don't get congested. Let's let all our little fellows go first. So if you are a 2 or 3-year-old, or a toddler, why don't you guys bail to class first? That would be great.
Good evening. Get set up right quick. How's everyone doing tonight so far? Good. Well, actually, let's bring this back here so we're not in the kiddos' way when they come rushing back in. Okay, Greg, if you want to come up and lead us in a word of opening prayer, we've got your microphone here for you.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we Thank you for your love for us and your care for us. And so thankful for all you do for us. We thank you for your word that we can study about you and learn what you expect from us. And we thank you that you sent your son to this earth also to be an example for us and to die for our sins. Father, we're so thankful for all who have showed up here tonight. It's a great crowd, and we pray that you will put your blessing on this VBS tonight and the rest of this week. Thank you for all the enthusiasm of all the children. Thank you for all who have participated in helping to make this VBS possible. Father, please be with the speaker tonight. Help us to learn from your word. Help us to bring it into the world, be shining light in the world, to spread the message that you gave us. Father, please be with us. Please give everybody a safe journey home. We pray that everybody here tonight is safe. And we thank you in your son's name. Amen.
All right. If you want to be turning in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 14, that's where we'll be spending most of our time this evening. I apologize if I sound a little gunked up. It's that time of the year for me, so I've got my handy-dandy juice up here for the remainder of the lesson. And you know, I realize I set my Bible down somewhere. I'm not quite sure where I said. I think it's back there in the audio area. Maybe not. Okay. That's all right. I have misplaced the Bible, but that's all right. We have the handy-dandy technology with us, so we will make it work. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to be talking about trusting to terrified. Terrified to trusting. A time that we can all relate to. Tim this morning gave a wonderful lesson on hike, helpless to hopeful, and turns out a lot of our points are the same. I was very surprised this morning going through. I thought that I had wrote the lesson. Excuse me. Now, beginning, we're going to read through Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Then what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the context, the preparation. Thank you, Josh. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. The Bible has been found, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has been found. All right. Matthew chapter 14, starting at 22, we're going to go through verse 33. This is just going to give us an overview of the text we're going to be examining tonight. And then we're going to talk about the text. There could be three points that we're going to look at, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. But starting in Matthew 14, 22 through 33, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, before we start examining this text, I have a little story that I really enjoyed reading that was in the book provided. Once upon a time, an older man, a gentleman, was at an amusement park. The man had gone many times over the years. He was ecstatic at the thought of getting on a roller coaster and getting to experience that thrill and that amusement again. He waited patiently for the chance of this experience, waited patiently for it, time and time again. However, as he aged, he changed. His desire for excitement and danger was replaced with fear and doubt. Now he no longer looks forward to riding that roller coaster. Instead, he is overwhelmed by fear at the thought of going higher than a few feet off the ground. Fear is something that is all around us. We've all experienced fear in some form or fashion in our life at this point, I imagine. Whether it's a well-known common fear such as spiders, clowns, public speaking, going to the dentist, fear is all around us. We experience constantly. But it's not always a bad thing to have fear. Fear of being hit by a car is often a good thing and encourages us to take an action, which is to look both ways before we cross the road. Fear of being burned is a good reason not to touch a hot stove to avoid being burned. And fear of punishment is often a deterrent for many, such as men spending money without your wife's permission. That's mine. However, there's an issue here. When fear gets to a point where it overwhelms and consumes us, when it gets to a point where we can't accomplish the simplest things, the simplest tasks, when fear consumes and overwhelms our sight on God, that's when it becomes an issue. And that's true for everything. And we can and should apply that logic to everything in our lives. When it replaces God as our focus, we have an issue. Now, it's perfectly reasonable to have fear. There's no shame in it. We've even talked about how sometimes fear is a good thing. But we should take steps to stop fear from becoming outright terror. So, how can we do this? By keeping perspective on the one who can calm every storm and preserve us in every trial that life throws at us. Our points tonight are preparation, so the context, the culture, and some concerns. Then we'll look at perspectives, perspective of Peter, of the disciples, and some modern-day perspectives. Then we'll look at perseverance, pursuing God's path, perceiving Christ's presence, and persistently focusing on Christ. So in preparation, we've read through the text here. There are some parallel accounts for this text. Mark 6, 45 through 52, and John 6, 14 through 21. As we move through, occasionally we'll reference those parallel accounts. The context here. Who can tell me the context of where we are at this time? There are a few things that happened just prior to this. So, context here. This is a Bible class, by the way. Just letting y'all know, this is a Bible class, not a sermon. I found this out last second last night, so Bible class, not a sermon. Feel free to interact. Just letting y'all know. This is right after the return of the 12 in Mark 6, 30 and 31. We see the 12 disciples return back from preaching the word throughout the region, doing miracles through Jesus in their respective ways. And then this is also shortly after the death of John the Baptist. We can find that happening just prior, Matthew 14, 1 through 12. Now, Christ and the disciples at this point have headed to a deserted place by boat. And at this point, they're in the northeastern portion of the Sea of Galilee, likely near Bethsaida area, roughly. Now, the multitude saw them depart, and they followed him there. And they found out where Jesus was and came to him. In John's account, over in John 6, 1, Jesus was healing them. In Mark's account, Mark 6, 34, Jesus had taught the multitudes that had pursued him. And as the hour grew later, the disciples wanted to send them away. However, Christ had other plans. This is a time where Christ fed 5,000, a story many of us are familiar with. After such things, Jesus made or compelled the disciples to get in a boat and sail across the Sea of Galilee, coming to the opposite side over it. And then after sending them on their way, Christ went up to the mountain alone to pray. By this time, I want you to imagine you have woken up in the morning, you sailed to this deserted place for all the disciples and Jesus to be together in this deserted place. You've rowed all day, you've sailed all day. These great multitudes come. They want to be taught, they want to be healed. Christ does them. Christ feeds them. It's evening at this hour. Christ tells you to get in a boat and sail across the sea. They've already had a full day of activity. They get in the boat, they follow what God said, they get and go. They get in the boat and go. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 12 miles long and about 8-ish miles wide, surrounded by mountains. This causes it to be prone to violent storms. Have any of you been on the water or the lake here in this area when there's been a storm that's blown through? It's terrifying. I was on the ocean up off Cape Cod, Massachusetts, one time, and a storm started rolling in, and we were very quick to get back to shore. So, keep that in mind. These are fishermen as well. They had sailed to about the middle of the sea, 2 to 4 miles, depending on where they are, when this violent storm came about. Again, these men are exhausted. They've been up all day. They've been up, coming up to all night. They're working and working and fighting against the storm until the fourth hour, which is around 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Around this time is when first century Judea switched from the three-watch system over to the four-watch system that the Romans used. So the fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So these people had been up for 20 to 24 hours at this point. When they saw what they thought was a ghost, they saw Jesus approaching them. One would think that they would be happy to see Jesus. However, initially they thought he was a ghost. To explain this, Jewish folklore, Talmud, Midrash, and such, predating this, they believed in apparitions not unlike our own folklore today, our superstitions and ghosts. And it makes sense for the folklore to exist. We see the writings of 1 Samuel 28, where Saul went and consorted a medium, the Witch of Endor, where she attempted to bring up Samuel's corpse from the grave, or spirit from the grave. Jewish tradition, not scripture, was to see a goat. In order to see a ghost, was to see an omen of evil or evil things to come. Jewish tradition also spoke of not greeting friends after dark for fear that they were a demon. So there's just a little tidbit of extra information on the cultural aspect of where we are. The reason I include this is because we have to remember this is real events. These are real people. They had a real culture and things that we may not comprehend today, that they had internal view and internal context that we don't have. That's why I wanted to include this. Now, Peter, that's where our focus is tonight. Peter does what Peter does. He is a courageous individual. He's full of zeal. He's ready to rush head first. He says, if you're a spirit, I don't believe that. If you're Jesus, call me out, because only Christ has the power to command nature. And then Jesus commanded him to come. Now imagine for a second, Peter, put yourself in his shoes as you are on this boat. You've been fighting this violent storm. The waves are going up and down, and you go to take that first step out into the water. Imagine the fear it felt stepping out onto that water. Full trust in God, but acknowledging that there is a bit of danger here. Moving from the safety of your boat and outwards. As Peter moved closer to Christ, he gained confidence that he was defying nature. But as Peter moved closer and closer, the winds, the waves, the sights of everything that's going on around him, and the sights of the environments, the noise, it got to Peter. His faith weakened. We're not just terrified to trusting. Peter gets a bad rap. He trusted Christ in the beginning. He trusted Jesus. He said, call me out there if that's you. And he did. It wasn't until he faced obstacles, he faced opposition, struggles, trials, tribulation, different sights, his faith was weakened for a moment. Peter began to lose sight on Christ and focus on his own life, his own preservation in the situation that he was in. Peter's sight on Christ was broken for a moment and he began to sink. Christ met Peter in the water and lifted him back to safety. And he does the same for us today. We'll look at that a little bit later on. But I have three concerns here. The sinking. And in sinking, Peter lost sight of what was important. Peter lost sight of Christ for but a moment, looking away. Don't we do the same thing? Do we go through storms? Do we go through trials that cause us to lose sight of what really matters? As Jesus rescued Peter, he rebuked Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Do we not also go through doubts today? Peter trusted Jesus, became terrified, but still trusted Jesus, calling out, "Lord, save me," knowing that he would be saved. Now, as you notice, we're in Matthew chapter 14. This is not the first miracle the disciples or Peter have seen. Previous miracles done. He's turned the water to wine. He's healed the nobleman's man's son. He's healed the demon-possessed in the synagogue. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law. Healed many sick and oppressed at evening. So on and so forth. He's raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. But what I want us to focus back on is Matthew 8. He already calmed the storm once. The disciples knew that Jesus already could defy nature and control nature, control the wind, control the waves. He's already seen that this has happened. And we see a similar account playing out in Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. "Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, so the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey him.'" The account in Mark for Matthew 14 and Mark chapter 6, we get an answer of why their perspective was off. We understand that their hearts were hard. Their hearts had been turned away for but a moment. They had made their minds different because they did not understand the miracle they had seen with the 5,000 loaves. So quickly, they had changed their minds. Turn over with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, picking up at verse 51. This is right after he steps back into the boat, parallel account. "Then he went up into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened." So they had a different perspective going on at this time. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Their hearts were off. Their perspective was off. So let's talk about perspective for a moment. Let's brainstorm together and see what we come up with. Peter's perspective. What about Peter's perspective here? Some things that came to my mind when researching this, I thought, if I was in that position, how would I be viewing it? I know Christ has the power. I trust in the Lord. Look at all we have done by him. Referring to traveling recently, spreading the word. "I'm coming across the water to you, Jesus. I am defying nature. The winds and the waves are terrifying. I'm sinking. I cannot stay afloat. I'm going to drown. I'm losing control. I can't do this. Lord, save me." In this case, I see Peter looking at this, comes out confidently, loses confidence, begins sinking, but still retains confidence that Christ can save him. And he does. The disciples, from their time in the boat, were struggling. We're not going to make it. We don't have Christ like last time. There's an apparition coming now, a ghost. Peter's going out to meet Jesus. It's Jesus. "I'm going to drown. We're going to drown. Peter's going to drown. We're not going to make it. Why is this happening?" And then, as the waves calm, they realize that you are the Son of God. As I thought about this, I also thought about today's applications, some things that we can ask ourselves. It's not always the big things that affect us today. It's the day, oftentimes it's the day-to-day things that beat us down, cause us to lose focus on God, so on and so forth. So I'm going to ask some questions. Don't answer. These are rhetorical ones. But apply these to yourself and think about this for a moment, because I think it's very important to ask ourselves questions. It's how we learn best. when we're going about our lives, what affect us and cause us to lose sight? Maybe I'm distracted by daily life, work stress, family stress, responsibility, social activities, consume my time and attention. Maybe I'm tempted by worldly things, falling back into the world and temptation that calls to me. Maybe I'm struggling with personal trials and sufferings, health issues, financial struggles, relationships. Maybe I'm busy and overcommitted, being overly spread thin, being spread too thin. We're Americans, we like to spread ourselves thin. We like to always have something to do. Maybe we're spiritually apathetic or lazy and don't desire to chase after the word. Maybe you're being influenced by something else, influenced negatively. Maybe it's technology. I've deleted TikTok off my phone. I've done it. It's taken me 2 years to do it, but I did it. Because I looked at my time used one day, and I had 12 hours of TikTok time on one day. I can't be doing that. Cannot be doing that. That's way too much time. So overloaded with technology. Or maybe we're pressured by peers. There are multiple reasons that we may not be focusing on God. But when it comes to trials and temptations, what can we do? How do we persevere? That brings us to a third main point, perseverance. Any comments so far before we move into this? I'm sorry I'm moving fast. I had a lot of material to cover in a short period of time. I had written this like a sermon, and I'm delivering it like a sermon. Any comments? All right. Sunday night was supposed to be the most challenging for good reason. So, pursue. Perseverance. We must pursue God. When we pursue God, we must go where He leads us. That is to follow the will of God. We must step forward and follow the Lord first and foremost in all that we do. The disciples went where Jesus directed, even when the road or the waters there were not certain. Even when they did not want to leave Him, Christ had to make them go. He had to compel them to go, urge them to go. They had no idea what trial awaited them, but this trial helped them grow. Christ could have stopped the winds and the waves with the word, as He had done prior, but that was not the purpose of this trial. The purpose of this trial was to build their faith beyond measure. The purpose was to remove the doubt that they were facing at that time. When we follow where God leads us, we need to acknowledge that we will be tested, that our faith will be tested. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. First Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 reads, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being such more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Our faith will be tested. We will have times when we'll be in stormy waters just as the disciples were, and trials that they faced. But our trials will make us complete. James chapter 1, 2 and 4, 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Our trials help us grow in our faith. Without adversity, there is little need for trust. Without adversity, there's little need for trust. But something takes its place. Plenty of room for self-reliance. Jesus will never send us somewhere that He hasn't already gone. He wants us to rely on Him. We'll read that here in a moment in Matthew 11. But first, 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. The you as Christians here, we're going to face trials and tribulations. But to pursue God, we have to trust him. We have to put our faith in him. We have to serve him and follow his commands. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And then Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. We must walk accurately here. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Turn with me, please. Any comments so far? All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. One of my favorite sections. And see then that you walk. If you're an underliner, underline walk. Because everything that comes after is going to refer back to this. See then that you walk circumspectly or accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We have to understand what the will of God is. How can we learn what the will of God is if we're going to trust in God and follow his word? How can we learn that? We have to read his word. We have to read his word. But along the lines of understanding, we need to also understand that as we persevere, we're not alone in these trials or tribulations. That's where our next point comes in, perceive. We need to perceive and recognize that Christ is with us through all our trials and storms. The disciples didn't perceive Christ when he came to them in this account, back in Matthew 14. Instead, they called him a ghost, an apparition, a spirit, thinking he was something else, holding to their folklore. Something rather than our Savior. When we recognize Jesus, or when Jesus comes in that form, do we recognize what's going on? Do we recognize God's will when it's laid out before us? When Jesus went up to the mountain, he still had oversight of the sea. Furthermore, he is also God. He was still with the disciples. He knew what they were going through. He knew exactly where they were. They were never alone, and Jesus did not require them to battle the whole storm alone. Again, no place that Jesus could not reach them. And the same is true for us today. Excuse me. Now, when we do not view the world through a spiritual lens, even doors of deliverance may seem like pits of doom. When we don't view the world through a spiritual lens, we get a misperspective. We miss the perspective of what we need to be looking at. But we live in the world, so how can we look through a spiritual lens all the time? It's very hard. It's very hard to do. But if we're unable to recognize Jesus and trust him in times of confusion, of trials, of storms, of sorrow, of tribulation, then our spiritual growth can and will be weakened. We cannot let those replace our focus. We cannot let them overwhelm us. We must recognize that Jesus is with all those who have put him on in baptism. We see this promised by Christ in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And finally, we must persistently look at Christ throughout our walk. And these right here will help us answer the question of how do we persevere? In order to persevere, we have to pursue God's word. We have to perceive Christ. We have to persistently focus on him. Peter's problem is one that many face today. And I've done this before. I'll be the first to admit that. We only focus on Jesus when things are easy. Or we only focus on Jesus when things are hard or overwhelming. And the inverse statement's true. Maybe we focus on Jesus only when things are, lost my train of thought there. It kind of went off spiraling. Regardless, we need to focus on Jesus. While Peter focused on Jesus, all was well. But when he looked away and lost focus, he began to sink. Peter had fearless faith. He was headlong, courageous, ready to go in. Until that fear became doubt. Until that fear turned to absolute terror. Once it became overwhelming worry for himself and not the focus on Christ as the sole focus, that's when it became an issue. So how can we prevent that from happening? Understand, it's going to be difficult. We're going to face trials and temptations. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now this verse does not say we can't fail. Many take this and say, this is a verse that says we can't fail. This verse says we can overcome, for God is faithful and doesn't allow things that we have no control over to overwhelm us temptation-wise, that we cannot have control over ourselves or free will. That's not what this is talking about. That's what this is talking about. We still have free will. It's still on us to overcome those temptations. When we focus on worldly matters and worry to the point we begin to sink under the weight of the world, we have lost focus on what truly matters. But Christ understands our worries and desires that we have, and he asks that we put those worries and desires in him. Any comments before we move on? Not Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, that Tim read earlier this morning. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30 reads, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then also, we need to focus our minds on the spiritual things. By putting our worries and desires on him, it's an excellent start, but we also need to keep our minds focused on spiritual things. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We must not defer or postpone our reliance on Christ. And when we do so, we put ourselves at risk. So in trekking from terrified or trusting to terrified to trusting, we have to make sure we maintain perspective, maintain perseverance, maintain the pursuit of God's word, maintain these things, and that will help us keep our focus on Christ by doing everything we've talked about. Now, a few discussion questions for reflections. You're welcome to answer these if you want to, or keep them to yourself. It's your own personal opinion. First, what are some of your greatest fears, and do they affect your day-to-day decisions? These are from the book here. These are these discussion questions from the book. Have you ever traveled to where you believed God wanted you to go to meet opposition or obstacles that scared you? Have you ever been so terrified by your circumstances that you felt distanced from God? What can we learn from Peter's loss of focus? And then Philippians 4, 8 and following, how does the focus of our thoughts affect the level of our fear. Five different little discussion questions that can really make us think. How do we see things? How do we perceive the world? How do we perceive ourselves and perceive what's going on around us? What can we learn from these events, from this story, from this event? Any comments so far? Oh, back there, I see Renee. Same here.
But the thing that that helps me is it says, and I was thinking about that verse in Deuteronomy too, that says there is I put before you life and death, choose life. And these bad things are gonna be going on all the time.
They are. Couldn't hear what Renee was saying back there. In Deuteronomy 2, she referenced a very specific verse, and I'm struggling to see it right now from my screen here, or from my Bible here. But essentially, the answer to a lot of these questions is yes, we've all faced this. We've all gone through a lot of these things. But regardless, we still have life and death put before us, and we still have to focus on life. We still have to choose life. In our daily walk. Every day we're presented with choices. Wake up, get out of bed, go left, go right, so on and so forth at a light. We still have to choose life. These things will always be happening in our life. Tim? Exactly, exactly. Definitely. What Tim was saying, for those that couldn't hear, Philippians 4, it's leading up to, or what we read was leading up, is the recipe of how we be at peace, how we gain this peace. Everything prior to that is what's telling us to be at peace, right, Tim? Is that where you're going with that? Yeah, rejoice always. Right. Right. I lost my mom back in 2020. It was right before COVID started. If I was not a Christian, that would have destroyed me. That would have been much harder than it already did destroy me. It was very hard. But if I was not meditating on these things, thinking about these things, it would have been significantly harder. It's not going to be easy, as Tim was saying. It's not going to be easy. This doesn't mean that we need to be happy all the time. We should be happy as much as possible. But we're still going to have sorrow. We're still going to suffer. We're still going to have things that happen. That's a good comment, Tim. A good comment, Renee. Any other comments? Tim? Tim Hall. He doesn't scold him. I'm going to put that in here. That's really good. Notice Jesus' reaction is what Tim was saying. Notice Jesus' reaction. He did not scold him, did not make fun of him, did not mock him as Peter was sinking. He asked him a simple question. And a lot of times we also, when we fall short, when we have issues, where we have doubt, we also mock ourselves, question God, beyond the extent of reason, beyond the extent of reasoning. We scold ourselves. We say we're not good enough. We're not worthy. We're not walking the walk. Instead of asking ourselves, why did we sink in the first place? And then how can we fix that? Any other comments? Check time real quick. We still got about 8 minutes time. All right. With this time that we have left, I'm going to go and offer the invitation to anyone that needs it. So in closing, we've looked at preparation, the context, the culture, the concern. We've looked at perspectives, such as the perspective of Peter, perspective of the disciples, and some modern-day perspectives that we can think about ourselves. We've looked at perseverance, pursuing God's path, pursuing Christ or perceiving Christ's presence, and persistently focusing on Christ. Now, as we close, notice also it was never just about fear. It was always about the condition that resulted from it, the doubt that overcomes, the doubt that overtakes our trust in Christ. As Jesus lifted Peter, he asked, why did you doubt? Fear can and will destroy us when it becomes doubt in God, both intentional and unintentional. We'll face doubts and fears, but we can never let them overcome us. Jesus met Peter on the water to remove doubt from the hearts of Peter and the disciples. Today, Jesus still meets us, and he's there for all who have met him in the watery graves of baptism. So if you have not done so tonight, let us study with you. Let us study together. If you've heard the word, believe the word. If you're ready to repent of the world, begin striving to follow him. If you're ready to confess that without a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then come now and pass through the waters of baptism, that you may become a new creature in Christ, that you may run to obtain a crown of life. Now, if you've already put on Christ, if you are currently in a storm, then let us pray for you. Let us help you in any way that we can. If you're lost sight, if you've lost sight of what's important, of that focus, and have sunk back into the waters of the world, Christ is ready to ask, is ready to pull you back in to the water, or pull you back into the boat. All you have to do is ask. Forgiveness, repent of the life you're living, and be lifted back into the boat just as Peter was. If you have any needs that we can assist with, either privately or publicly, then come now as we stand and sing our song of invitation.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sing.
Please be seated. So what we're going to do now, we do not have the time to take the Lord's Supper at this moment for those that have not partaken of it, but we are still going to offer it. So if you have not partaken of it, do not leave the auditorium. What's going to happen is the kids are going to rush back in here. We're going to have about 5-10 minute intermission. And then as the kids are dismissed to snacks, then at that point we will sing a song to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, at which point we will have Billy come up and preside for the Lord's table. So until then, feel free to mix, mingle, comments, and so on and so forth.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Can you tell me something you learned about Australia tonight?
Hi.
Did you learn anything about Australia? What did you learn about, Matthew, what did you learn about Australia? Did you learn something about Australia? Oh, it is the turnabout point is the theme of VBS. Did you know what it means to turn about? Do we know what that means? It means to turn, it really means to turn around. It really means to turn around. It's, you're going to turn yourself around. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense to Caroline. It's okay, Caroline. It does. Okay, I'm glad it makes sense to you. The people who turned their life around. They were maybe a bad person, and they turned into a good person. They turned it around. That's what we're talking about. So who can tell me what they learned about in class? Tell me about that story with Jesus. What was special and different in this story? Do you remember? What was different in this story?
Hey, do you have a tooth necklace?
So what happened?
About Jesus.
What about Jesus? What did Jesus do? It was something special. There was something special happened in this story. Jesus, is it a normal thing when you go to the pool? Do you ever just walk across the water?
No.
People can't do that, but Jesus can, because Jesus made the water, right? And who else joined him on the water?
Peter.
Caroline said, Peter. You were listening. Very good. Peter, very good. And what happened when Peter started to sink this side?
He somehow
didn't trust Jesus, did he? He lost his faith for a little bit. He saw the waves. It says he saw the wind. It must have looked pretty scary. And he was like scared. And he started to sink. Would that be scary? But what happened? What did Jesus do? Jesus pulled him out of the water. Yeah, great. You guys did a great job listening tonight. Very good. He grasped him by the hand and he pulled him back up and they got back in the boat, didn't they? So you guys, listen, I hope you'll all come back. Now, I got an unofficial count or a semi-official count of about 69 children tonight. So let's see if you can bring back even more with you tomorrow night. You don't think you can bring anybody tomorrow? No way, just you. Okay, well, if you can bring somebody, that would be awesome. Say we could do even better than 69. So we're gonna sing the booster song, and then I'm gonna dismiss you again by grade. Hold on. Teachers, thank you for getting the lanyards. I don't even have to remind you because it's already done. But children, as I dismiss you in just a minute after the booster song, you're going to walk that way, and you're gonna go that way towards the steps, okay? So you're gonna go that way, then you're gonna go that way. Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to go have snack, okay? Okay, everybody stand up for Booster. Okay, now it's going to be a little loud. It's going to be a little loud. Let's try to scare the babies. No scaring the babies. He's got a passy. He's okay right now. You ready? Booster, Booster, be a booster. Don't be grouchy like a root. Night, but let's go. Let's do the same order we did before for us to dismiss the class. If you are in the, we have no toddlers. If you are over here in the twos and threes, you guys go first. That's perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. You guys are next. Bye, John. Stand up. Stand up. Go this way. Go this way.
To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, for anyone that needs to partake of it, please raise your hand now, and we'll give that to you. Got one. All right. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 344, Low in the Grave He Lay. We're going to sing all three verses, and then we'll sing the chorus. Low in the
One last time, was there anyone who needed a communion set? All right, well, this is the time where we're going to take communion together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thought we could spend just a couple moments reflecting on thankfulness and some things that we can all be thankful about tonight. I'm thankful to be here with all of you. I'm thankful for our VBS. I'm very thankful we got to take communion with another brother in Christ this morning. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for the positive influence all of y'all have on me. So I think we can all agree we've got lots and lots and lots of things to be thankful for. And especially right now as we share this communion together, again, I think we can share in our thankfulness for Jesus, the sacrifice that he made for our sins, the example he has left us on how to live and how to love one another, and be thankful for the opportunity that we can share that with others through our week. So if you need to, you can take your communion set right now and open the bread portion of it, and we'll all pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this bread that represents your body. And Lord, we are so grateful and so thankful. And we know that this body that you gave, your body that you gave, has helped establish this new body, this church full of believers here. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice and gift. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. And again, for those taking communion tonight, you can open the juice portion of the communion set, and we'll continue this time. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the blood of your Son, Jesus, that washes away our sins, his sinless blood that takes away our sins. Lord, help us to share that good news, this wonderful news about redemption and forgiveness and freedom that we have through your Son, Jesus. Help us to share that with others. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you all for taking and sharing communion tonight. We're going to just talk about contribution. You know, we are commanded in Scripture to give of our means financially, and I certainly encourage all of us to do so as appropriate. I also encourage each of us to give thought on how we can also contribute of our time and skills, whether that's teaching a children's class, whether that's in, well, there's a great deal of ministries that we have here. Please give special thought to how you can use the gifts that God has given you to benefit others. And so let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for each of the blessings that you have given us. And help us to not fall into the trap, Lord, of thinking that these blessings just belong to us for our own benefit. Help us to share, Lord, whether that's the money that you have given us, or whether that's the skills that you have given us, Lord, please, on each of our hearts, help us to seek out and search out and find ways to further the work of your kingdom. Lord, we love you. Bless each person here tonight. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Don't know if there are any announcements. Pardon? No announcements? So no announcements. And I would say we are also then dismissed at this time to go down to where all the kids are for VBS and see you back here tomorrow.